This is the Ministry 127 podcast, a complimentary resource for spiritual leaders and a part of Ministry127.com. Ministry127.com is an online resource designed to help you develop and implement a biblical philosophy of ministry in the 21st century. Ministry127.com, including this podcast, is hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Ministry127.com provides a growing online library of ministry resources designed to encourage and equip spiritual leaders. These resources flow from servant-hearted local church leaders from around the world who are faithfully serving God with effective and biblical philosophies of ministry. To find out more, visit and subscribe to Ministry127.com. Well, today's lesson for ladies is coming from Bonnie Furso. Mrs. Furso is the wife of Associate Pastor Jerry Furso here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And for many years, Bonnie has served as Pastor Chappell's administrative assistant. The lesson today is entitled Principles for Effective Administrative Assistance. I know that Bonnie's heart of service and love for the Lord will greatly encourage you. So here's Bonnie Furso, Principles for Effective Administrative Assistance.
So as I just prayed a minute ago, I pray that what I say here, that you will adapt it to your ministry. And if we all had a minute to give a testimony and tell where we served, there might be a lady in here and you're the only lady in your office and everything falls on your shoulders. And there might be others in here that are in an office. I know a couple ladies here from the hospital, or you're from a larger ministry and you have a lot of help. So I don't want to say anything here where you walk out and say, well, that wasn't for me. You know, if I had 10 other secretaries, we could do that. I don't want you to say that. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to take what fits for you, and I want you to leave what doesn't fit for you. And so I hope that you will, you'll be encouraged by what I say today. Look in your notes, and the first point there is think ahead of your leader. Think ahead. Anticipate. Whether it's something as simple as a cup of coffee or what his lunch plans are for the day, think ahead and anticipate. And then I love this, think of it before he does. An example for me might be his lunch plans. Sometimes pastor can come in about 11:15 and say, what am I doing for lunch today? Who's getting me lunch today? You know, don't you just love to think ahead of him and have the answer before he asks? So think ahead. And for Pastor Chappell, he teaches a college class, and I can see ahead of time, or I need to see ahead of time, when he's going to be out of town, and I need to anticipate that, and I need to ask him about it before it even crosses his mind. You know, we as Christians, I'm going to talk on a spiritual level too, and it should be so much a part of our day. You should never start a day, of course, without the practical of Holy Spirit, fill me with your power, use me and help me today, because as a Christian, and if you're working for a pastor, it's a spiritual warfare. I tease sometimes, but I say I feel like on some days the devil works harder in our office, and he probably does. But it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning about 2 weeks ago, I thought, okay, pastor tries to get to the doctor every fall and get an annual full physical. And I had it on my radar. And he just came back from the Holy Land trip, and then, you know, he came running that week at a funeral, and it's been on and on. And then time for the spiritual leadership conference. And every time I was going to bring it up to him, it just didn't seem like the right time. So he sent me an email about 5 days ago that said, what about this date for my doctor appointment? I thought, that was on my radar. I was going to ask you about it. You asked me first, you know. So stay a step ahead of him. And the Holy Spirit was telling me that, but I thought, nah, I'll ask him later. Next is answer the question before he asks. And I thought of that verse, Proverbs 18:13. Now, I said answer the question before he asks, okay? But on the other end, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever finished your husband's sentences or your friend's sentences, or you just know what he's going to say? Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's talking about something totally different. I love that verse. You know, be quiet and listen. If you are given information to give to him, and I'm going to keep saying him, okay, because I am speaking from my paradigm here. Make sure he has the answers to the questions that will come to his mind. For example, don't give a piece of information, John Smith's in the hospital. If I tell Pastor John Smith's in the hospital, what are the questions that are going to come to his mind? What happened? Who's visiting him? Who's encouraging his wife? Did somebody take a meal over? Were there flowers sent? Was there a card sent from me? So answer those questions when you give information, which goes along with the next point. Give complete information. And I was thinking about this even again this morning. Just because you told him something does not mean that he doesn't need another reminder. And I thought about this week for him, between Monday and this weekend, all that he's going to have on his plate. We'll often sit down in the office on a Monday morning and we'll go through the whole week all the way through Sunday. And I'll tell him what's on his schedule. And as I was looking at the calendar, I thought there's so much going on even this weekend that if I were to tell him today or tomorrow, there's no way he would even remember by Sunday. This Sunday has a lunch appointment. After his lunch appointment, he has a meeting with the Spanish members that are going to be at a special lunch, so he gets to eat lunch twice on Sunday. And then we're going to be recognizing a family in church this Sunday for the 50th anniversary. So I often say that the right timing is so important. And it's your responsibility. Don't ever have the attitude, well, I told you. And you know what? We constantly have to be adjusting our spirit, don't we? Have you ever felt like you're defensive in your spirit? And forgive me, Lord, I have been. And I just, when I am, I pray it doesn't show on the outside, you know, like, but I did that, or I told you, you know. We, you know, just keep reminding and listening to the Holy Spirit. We have a saying around here that there are secretaries who think and there's secretaries who don't think. And honestly, ask yourself, what am I? Has a secretary ever given you a piece of information and you think, okay, are they telling me this so I will inform everybody? Have they informed everybody? We all have a name. We all have a reputation. And let it be said of you that if so-and-so tells you something, that you follow through. You make sure it gets to the prayer list. You make sure the flowers get ordered. Don't assume. Pastor has used the illustration several times with us, just as recently as last week in our staff meeting, about the Marriott, the hotel line, and they have a great reputation that if someone asks them a question, they don't say, well, call extension so-and-so or whatever. They follow through. And even on Sunday night, you know, a couple came up to me and they were asking where the registration was. And I could have pointed and I said, go a couple buildings over, you know, make a left. But instead, I took 60 seconds and I walked them over here. You know, what kind of customer service do you give to your church members? Okay, make a plan. And you're right. You start your day, you make a plan, and it's probably going to end up in the shredder, but that's okay. But don't come into the office with the mindset of, what am I going to work on today? Have a plan before your day even starts and know what has to be done. And prioritize as your day goes on. I often come in the office and I will have in my mind, you know, these 10 things have to be done. And then I have a meeting with Pastor and he gives me several things to do that will take a whole day to get that work done. And so what happens to my 10 things that I needed to get done? You have to prioritize. Who do you work for and what is important to them? What is important to them might not be sensible or important to you, but that doesn't matter. You're working for them. What's important to them? I think of Pastor, correspondence is very important to him, such as an absentee letter. If he were to come into Monday morning and say, I want to send an absentee letter to these five people, or he stands at the door and he gets lots of prayer requests, you know, he needs to send a letter of encouragement to so-and-so. Okay, you know, I'll put that on my to-do list. If I decide to do that on Friday afternoon, probably when is that person going to get their absentee letter? Probably the next week they'll get an absentee letter and think, well, I was at church yesterday, but it was really from a week ago, you know? So there are things that are priority. If somebody's in the hospital, you know, you need to act on that, you need to send them flowers. That's just a given. Make a plan and plan to set it aside. How's that? I saw a cartoon and it was cute, but it was truthful, and there was a man giving an employee of his office to a new employee, and they came up to this one door, and he said, this is our administrative resistant. And I thought, ouch. As we said before, what kind of name do you have? Do one of the pastors of your church or one of the leaders you work for come up to you and think, oh, I have to ask her something. I wonder what kind of mood she's in today, you know? let it be said that if they come to you, they know that you're going to receive it, you're going to be responsible, you're going to have a good attitude, and you're going to follow through. if you work for somebody who did everything at the last minute, blah, 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 you know, pray for them. But there's going to be times. Pastor Chapel is such an organizer, such an administrator, on top of being a great pastor and everything else. But there are times when maybe the Lord will lay something on his heart or something will come up that we didn't plan, and there may be a last-minute project. That's not his normal, and that's not a habit of his. But if it happens, what's my attitude and response supposed to be? You already knew that, didn't you? You're all looking at me like you're sleepy. Let me give you this quote. You can learn to check hastiness, overcome fear with confidence, and work on laziness with discipline. Don't ever look at somebody and just say, well, I'm just not like that. First, it starts with the decision. I want to improve. I want to be better. I don't know how many of you came to the leadership conference last year, but I hope you're a better person this year than you were last year. I hope you're a better assistant this year than you were last year. We should always be trying to improve. But there are those people who are rigid. Rigid in mind, stubborn, call it what you want to, set in their ways. That carries its own seed of destruction. Blessed are the flexible. I don't think that's in your notes. You can write it down. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. Flexibility is often a key component. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. Ask yourself this. Are you a team player? Teamwork and personal rigidity just don't mix. I love when our pastor says, teamwork makes the dream work. If you want to work well with others and be a good team player, you have to be willing to adapt yourself to your team. I read this quote by a Harvard Business School professor. He observed, "The individuals who will succeed and flourish will be masters of change." We say something here, a growing church is always in transition. Our offices change, people get moved to different positions. As you grow older, you realize you have strengths and weaknesses, don't you? And there may be something you have a heart for, but you might not be that good at it. If they put me in charge of the Baptist Voice next month, whoa, what an addition that would be. I'm not real graphically able to do all those creative things they do, you know, but you are good at something. God's put you where you are and nourish what you are good at. So the individuals who will succeed and flourish will also be masters of change. Skillful at reorienting their own and others' activities in untried directions to bring about higher levels of achievement. We like our comfort zone, don't we? And sometimes when you're launched out there to try something new, it's scary. You don't want to do it. But team players who exhibit adaptability have certain characteristics. One is a can-do attitude and flexibility. And these are great traits. Do you ever speak before you think? Going back to discipline, James 1:9, I think the references are in your notes, but let me share the verses with you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterwards. Those few times I've done that where I thought, oh, I'm so glad I kept my mouth shut till I heard the whole matter, or I could have spoke too soon. And, you know, we just show what a fool we are, don't we? And add this reference. It might not be in your notes. Isaiah 54. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Isn't that sweet? If you work in a pastor's office by chance, the Lord will give you many opportunities for that, to speak a word to the weary. And not everybody that calls our office is able to speak to pastor, but what a joy it is that when they hang up the phone, though they didn't speak with pastor, they felt like they did because they shared their burden with us, we empathized with them, sometimes we pray with them, and we assure them, pastor will get this message. It can take us up to 30 minutes sometimes, but you know, I can give it to pastor and in a one or two liner. Okay, quickly in your notes there, we have think. Think before you speak. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? This is a good one. Is it necessary? And is it kind? Whether it's a prayer request or something you shouldn't be talking about, I promise if you take a second to ask yourself, let's say that together. Is it true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind? Okay, you might not make all 5 points, and you might say, better left unsaid, huh? Next is plan ahead. This was pretty neat. I love when the Lord does this. And spend time looking through the calendar. Get in the habit of that forward thinking. And I was in a meeting with Pastor a week ago Monday, and we were talking about the week of this week. And he had an event at the base, and then he was also invited to a retirement ceremony in 2 days. And so he said to me, what was my original communication to that man? Now, if you're anything like me, you can trust your memory about that much. So I was so thankful to the Lord that I was able to do one click and I could trace all my communication. And it's a real blessing if you work, how many of you have more than one lady you work with directly in your office? Anybody in here? Good. Oh, good. There's a number of you. That's a blessing. We have the ability, Honey, raise your hand. Her name is Honey. You cannot call her Honey. I love her. I told her I would not be able to do what I do without her, and I mean that with all sincerity, and it's a joy to serve with her. But one thing that's such a blessing is when she came on several years ago, 7, 8 years ago now, we had the privilege to sit side by side. And so since I had been in the office longer, I was able to train her just one-on-one every single day. And I always said, I wish we could do that with all of our secretaries. So many times the secretary will come in and get an office, you know, and have to wing it. But we think too much alike. I mean, even we'll tease and say, I had that thought at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she'll say, I did too, you know. But anyways, what I say this is if you can have a centralized system, it helps so much, because if I'm not in the office, if she's not in the office, we can go to the same calendar, we can open up the same documentation, and we can be on the same page. I can't tell her every conversation I have all day long. She can't tell me. She does the phones. We have to have central locations so we can retrieve the information. So anyways, getting back to what I was saying, Pastor Chappell asked me what was my last communication with this man about his retirement ceremony, because he asked Pastor to come and pray for it, but the man changed the date several times, and I'm thinking, okay, oh, we went back and forth on this so many times. So I was able to go into my notes, and specifically on like March 29th, I have my notes of what I said to this man, what Pastor said, what the direction was, and it was like in 20 seconds. You know, if I had to go by my memory, I'd be calling this man out. What did we tell you, Lance? I'm so sorry, I forgot. I'd be doing that all the time. You don't trust your memory. Write it down. I'm not going to get ahead of myself here. So ask yourself, what meetings are coming up? Is the room reserved? You know what? It hasn't been that many years ago, honestly, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, look at all the buildings that we have, and it started to become a problem. Well, what are you doing in this meeting? I have a meeting in this room, you know? And so I don't know of your church situation, but if you don't have a room reservation manager, get one. So two people aren't showing up at the same time for the same meeting. It's very frustrating for your church members. What events are coming up? Get a file folder of items that he needs to look at and give it to him before it even comes to his mind. Keep a checklist and develop it for every event. We have a checklist back there. And when it comes to an event in our office, Honey is the one to usually coordinate it, and she's mastered a checklist. And we've got two of them here for you just to help you, like I said, adapt it. If it'll help you, great. If it won't, maybe it'll spur on some thoughts and helps for your ministry. Attitude is the key. Wouldn't you so much rather have somebody working for you with a great attitude, though they're the most competent secretary in the world? I would. It's a great mix, though. Competency and sweet attitude is a great mix, but I would take a sweet attitude any day. Eliminate these words in your vocabulary, and you know what? It's a habit. Have you ever caught yourself being in a negative habit and you just have to slap yourself? You know, I know we blame it on different things, don't we? But you can. You can really get into a negative mindset, and it really stinks. Quit saying, if only. Oh, if only I had a laptop, if only I had a BlackBerry. Quit saying if only and say, I will. I will make this work. Quit saying I don't think and say I know. Quit saying I don't have the time and say I will make the time. If you start walking the walk and talking the talk, the feelings come later. You know what I'm saying? If I got up in the morning and I acted like I felt, I'd still be in bed. I was in a coma this morning, you know? Seriously, you have to get these disciplines and habits in your life. Change your maybe to absolutely. Stop thinking, I'm afraid, for I'm confident. And we know our confidence is in ourself. Confidence is in Christ. And take away I don't believe to I'm sure. Learn to say but. Maybe it's in your mind, you know, if you find yourself complaining and you're thinking, catch yourself. You know, you're grumbling and say, I've got the slowest computer on earth here, you know. But catch yourself and say, but thank you, Lord, for my computer. You know, we all have those days. Get organized. If you think getting organized is time consuming and you're putting it off because you don't have time to go through your files or whatever, you just try disorganization. I've been there where someone's come into my office and I know where something is, but I can't find it, or I thought I put it there. In your notes, disorganization is costly. It steals your valuable time. Have you ever lost your keys? A simple example is taking the time, going to the store, picking out a hook. We did this in our house. It's right at the back door, so the keys always go right there. You know, you can't find your keys. Hey, that, you know, 30 minutes of investment of my time to go buy a hook and put it on the wall has saved lots of time. No excuses. You know, like I said, it's probably a very broad sphere in here of our ministries and what's available to you, but there's no excuses. You might not have technology or you can't afford it. Find a system and make it work. Even if it's an old-fashioned tickler system where you have to time-activate everything on paper, it doesn't matter. Just get a system and make it work and be thankful for what you have. We had our Men and Boys camp out about 2 weeks ago, and I praise the Lord for our team. This is our team, me and Honey, and we have Jewel. She's not in here right now. She does pastor's filing, and Brother Whitman, who's pastor's personal assistant. And Honey and I will often remind Brother Whitman of things. Partly is probably selfish, because if we forget something, we're going to be scrambling at the last minute, huh? He's awesome. He's such a blessing to pastor. He does all of his travel and thousands of other details. But before the camp out, I said to Brother Whitman, now, do you have Pastor's cooler and everything ready? Pastor often will drive a guest or two up there, and he likes to have some fruit or some juice or something in there. And about a day or two later, I said, Brother Whitman, do you have that? He said, how do you remember these things? Now, what do you think? I don't remember them. They are time activated. I've got a system that works, and it pops up. Does Brother Whitman have Pastor's cooler? Whatever works for you, but have a system, make it work. So many times people will give me a word of praise or something, but I know better. I know I'm not a great secretary. I know I don't have this awesome memory, believe me. But I've got a system, and I've learned to work it. I've learned to improve upon it. It makes me look good, but I know better. My goal, of course, is to make Pastor to look good. Just like this 50th anniversary coming up. Pastor shouldn't think a second about who's having a 50th anniversary this week. But we'll have a bouquet of flowers for them. We'll find out which service they're in. It'll be on the announcement card, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everything will be done, and Pastor will get up there and look wonderful, and that's our goal. And he'll recognize these people, and these people will be so thankful for their wonderful pastor who remembered their 50th anniversary. Isn't that wonderful? But just on the other hand, the opportunity brings responsibility, and I could really offend somebody because they could say, well, Pastor didn't remember me. You know? It's a blessing to be a blessing, but the devil sure uses small details, and small details can mean a lot in one person's life. Don't trust your memory ever. Another thing Honey and I have that is central between the two of us, and when I say central, it's only our office. It's not for everybody to see a lot of confidential stuff, but it's a mailing distribution list, and it's so helpful. And oftentimes someone will come in for counseling, and Pastor will say, I want to give so-and-so a book. And when he does, we go into this document, and we put the name, the purpose, the date, and what we gave them. And it's just a Word document, but it's so helpful because in a second we can do a find and we can say, no, Pastor, we already gave him that book, you know, in 2006 or whatever. Whatever it is, whether it's a gift card or blah, blah, blah. It's very helpful. If you don't have one of those, I recommend you get one. We have an order list, too, so we can track, you know, we ordered such and such. Where did we get that from? Or what was the name of that? You can do a find with one word, and you find what you ordered, where you ordered it from. And then time activation, get a system and make it work. Next is learn preferences. Everybody has preferences. Let's say paper clips versus staples. Our pastor prefers paper clips, so I give him paper clipped items versus stapling them together. He prefers privacy and confidentiality. So like when we put something on his desk, honey sits in our reception area. So we have a corner and Pastor knows it's his corner. We don't go in his office and take stuff all day long. We put it on that corner. If he cares to see what's waiting for him, he'll come out on honey's desk and look for it. But we put everything face down because we have people that come in the office and it's just human nature. I'm not saying they're nosy, even though they're nosy, but they'll just start looking around. So he may have a book that he's reading and he wouldn't recommend it to the church and he wouldn't put it on the website, but it's a good book and he's learning some things and he's gleaning from it. I don't want so-and-so to come in and see that book and think, well, Pastor Chappell recommends that book, because he might not recommend that book for a person who's not ready for something like that. Or there may be confidential information that's just face down. So that's another preference we have in our office. It's a good habit for you. Our pastor prefers medium point, blue ink, just things like that. Find out what the preferences are. Diet Coke, all kinds of things. Okay, be the go-between for communication. Be the liaison. Be the connector. Be the middleman. And that goes two ways. Be the bridge. Recently, a family in our church had shared a burden that they were going through about their daughter, and I was able to share it with Pastor, and he in return sent them a note, and I talked to him a week later. It just meant so much to them. I know nobody in this room is like this, but I'm going to say it anyways. I could endear people to myself. I could write them a note, I'm praying for you. But what's your goal? Your goal is first to endear them to the Lord, but to endear them to their pastor. What, you know, I could die tomorrow, or the Lord could move me somewhere tomorrow. I want these people to follow their pastor who follows the Lord. So be careful there that your motives are right. So be the bridge. You know, when you know something like that, tell your pastor, keep them informed. And be the shock absorber. That goes both ways. Maybe my pastor's having a bad day. Maybe there's a lot of pressure on him, and he's real upset about something, and he tells me to tell so-and-so something. He's told me before, sometimes I need to cushion that. He may have said it one way, but maybe, you know, I can get the same message across and say it a different way, and vice versa. There's times we get bad news or threatening news or whatever, and we really have to weigh that. You know, what do we tell Pastor? When do we tell it to him? Be the shock absorber. And be resilient. You have to be resilient. You have to bounce back, and God's grace enables you to do that. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. Brother Whitman is A-plus resilient. He's like Tigger. He's so funny. Sometimes he's like whistling and singing in his office, and I'm thinking, is he not feeling the pressure I'm feeling? Does he not have anything to do with it? He's just so resilient. He's going to live to be 100. And then never leave a message that only tells somebody to call you back. This is Bonnie First, so call me at 946-4663. Help expedite whatever you need. So call and say, this is Bonnie. I'm calling for so-and-so. I'm calling regarding this. I need this piece of information, or Pastor Chappell can preach for you on this date. Does this date work for you? Give, a, you know, 20 seconds of information. That's very helpful. It saves time. It prevents phone tag. When someone with whom you work and communicate will be out of the office for days or weeks, most of you probably have email. Don't just email them to death or leave voicemails or piles of messages. Be thoughtful. They may not be your boss, but like Connie and I, we'll leave each other one page of documentation, organize it. This is FYI. These are your action items. Evaluate yourself. Generally, people don't like change. And ask yourself, am I in a rut? Do I need to change anything? Am I growing with technology? When's the last time you read a book to help you with your office? And then ask yourself, I know this isn't in your notes, are you acting or reacting? And I'm disappointed with myself often because I will react instead of act. You're looking at me like you've never done it before. Have you ever reacted? I think of it even with a marriage, acting is on purpose. Or with dating, I've said it to my teenagers before. You don't wait till you get in a situation and ask yourself, am I going to let him hold my hand? Am I going to let him kiss me? That's reacting. You don't wait till you get into the situation before you make the decision. You decide ahead of time. And I love that verse in Psalm 62, I believe it is, maybe Psalm 62:2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And you need these scriptures because it is spiritual, and you have to, when things come your way and you just don't know how you're going to get it done, you need to act and not react. You need to go back to your office. Maybe you need to close the door. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to go in the restroom. I've gone in the restroom and cried before. And just say, okay, Lord, help me. Pull over on the side of the road and ask the Lord for power. Go the second mile. And I'm sure you do that. Give more than is expected. Passion drives initiative. What are you passionate about? Don't take a bad day home with you. I was talking to one of our secretaries this week. We had a heated moment in her office with something that came up, and she's very young, and I was teaching her that don't take a bad day home with you. I said, it's just like my marriage. My husband has bad days. He's still my husband. And I still love him. Just like when I have bad days, he still loves me. And you're going to have bad days in your office. Don't take it home with you. Don't be a gunny sacker and just hold a grudge. But forgive and go on. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, therefore, is not an act, but it's a habit. You have a habit. Are they good habits or bad habits? Excellence is a habit. Colin Powell said, if you are going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in the little matters. Let your advanced worrying become advanced thinking and planning. If you are an A-type personality or perfectionist, you might have a hard time getting started on a project because you don't think you have enough time to do it. You got to clean out the garage, but I don't have a day where I can clean out the garage, so you don't take the opportunity of 10 minutes to get started. You know what I mean? Do you have anything you dread? If you're like me, I have projects I don't like to do, so they go to the bottom of my list. But don't let your advanced worrying become an anchor. Let it be your springboard. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gets you nowhere. And I love this. Worrying makes you forget who's in charge. What are you worried about today? Think about it in your life. Who's in charge? Worry makes you forget who's in charge. I love that. And then a staff-run church is a staff-ruined church. Learn to bring people alongside of you. Hardly a month goes by where I don't have someone come up to me and say, if you need help, let me know. And there are a lot of things in my office I can't share. But there are, you know, look at this conference. Things to stuff and on and on and on. And it was such a joy to see people serving and helping. And they got the joy for helping. So ask volunteers for help. What are your responsibilities? What do you need to do? And what can somebody help you do? Now, there are things that come your way where it's got to be done today and you don't have time to call somebody. But let's just say you have a really big mailing going out or something and you know it's some busy work of folding and stuffing and stamping. Call somebody or maybe an elderly lady at the church that would love to come help you. You're robbing her of a blessing. So think smart. And then does your leader trust you? Let me say something here. Apply it as need be, but be appropriate and know your boundaries. Be appropriate and know your boundaries, let's say, with your dress. It's a small thing. Most of you probably do it, but some of you may not. When you bend over, you know, put your hand and bend over. Be appropriate and know your boundaries in your conduct. And be appropriate. Don't be loud. So there are probably times where your office should be like a library, you know. Be appropriate, know your boundaries in office space. I never lean over pastor's desk. I always keep my distance. I would never want somebody to walk in and think anything that's not upright. So go the second mile and be very appropriate and know your boundaries. And then know what the line is between supporting and nagging. That can be hard sometimes. But don't be overbearing. I think of it was Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping on a rainy day. You know, don't be that secretary that your husband's just like, go to lunch. Don't come back till tomorrow, you know. Just don't be like that, but know the boundaries. And then be decisive and go with your gut. It's usually right, you know. Not always, but it usually is. And then I have to remind myself of this. Take a few steps to try to get the answer before picking the phone up or sending an email. And there are some people in this room that I really trust, and when I'm in a hurry, I will call them because I know they have the answer, or they love me and they're going to get me the answer. But I know there's been times, let's even say with Honey, there's been days she's not there or she's at lunch and I need an answer. I can usually find it, but it's a lot easier a lot of times to say, Honey, what about this, you know? So for respect out of other people, give yourself 30 seconds. Try to get the answer yourself. You probably can't find it. And then in closing, this is so fundamental, but be a good Christian first. Whether you like it or not, if you are a staff member, someone probably is watching you. And be in your place and be a good Christian. You know, when I talk to ladies that are going to come onto our staff, I don't want them to think there's some bar that they can't meet to come on our staff. All pastors ever required of our staff ladies, be a good Christian. What does a good Christian do? Loves the Lord, loves her family, faithful to church, go soul winning. If there's a baby shower, encourage and love ladies in the church. You know, that's not rocket scientist information there. Just be a good Christian and then be faithful. Be in your place, be dependable. On the job, be faithful. Don't let it be said, is she coming in today? And be sensible. I mean, if you're throwing up or if you have a fever, please stay home. But be faithful and then be spirit-filled. And it's just honestly amazing if you listen to the Holy Spirit, you will be so amazed at what he lays on your heart. Have you ever had a thought and you think, oh, and then later it's like, wow, Holy Spirit, that was you telling me to do that. Why didn't I do that? You know, we've all had that thought before. And never let the work of the Lord in all your busyness and all your ministry and your job ever take away from the focus of the Lord's work, and that's telling other people about Christ. Keep the main thing, and that's sharing Christ with others. I hope something I said helped you in some way.
Well, thanks for listening to today's lesson. It's been taught by Mrs. Bonnie Furso, wife of Pastor Jerry Furso, associate pastor here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Bonnie, for many years, has served as Pastor Chapel's administrative assistant, and her lesson today has been entitled Principles for Effective Administrative Assistance. You've been listening to the Ministry127.com podcast, a resource designed to encourage and equip spiritual leaders in developing a biblical philosophy of ministry for the 21st century. If you have benefited from this complimentary resource, the Ministry127 podcast, or from Ministry127.com, would you simply consider referring a friend? You know somebody perhaps serving in the ministry or growing in God's grace that could benefit from these resources. Send them an email and let them know about ministry127.com. For more information and for many other additional resources that support local church leadership, visit ministry127.com. Also, for publications resources that encourage spiritual growth and support the local church ministry, visit strivingtogether.com. Thanks for listening to this Ministry127.com podcast.